And how about this 50 years of independence? I congratulate all of you. This is amazing thing. This is amazing thing. I must say, I love Zambia. I was telling Pastor Haley, I could just move here and tell my wife, just pack everything up and send it on over. We're moving to Zambia. I love it here. I just love Zambia. And you guys live in a great place at a great time. But I say congratulations to all of you. So today I want to talk to you about your family legacy. And can I ask you to stand to your feet one more time? I want to read a passage from Genesis chapter 11. And I'm going to read this passage. And then once we read it, I'm going to pray for us and for you. And so in Genesis chapter 11, verse 27 through 32, the Bible says, this is the genealogy of Terah. Terah begot Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Haran begot Lot, and Haran died before his father Terah in his native land in Ur of the Chaldeans. Then Abram and Nahor took wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife, Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah and the father of Iscah. But Sarah was barren, and she had no child. Verse 31. And Terah took his son Abram and his grandson Lot, the son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, his son Abram's wife, and they went out with them from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to the land of Canaan. And they came to Haran and dwelt there. So the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Father, today we thank you for the privilege of being in this country in this season. I want to thank you for the precious people that are here under the sound of my voice. I pray, Heavenly Father, that today we will draw a line in the sand and that we will move forward from places of complacency and compromise and regret. I pray that the Spirit of the Lord would be upon each one of us, that you would anoint us to preach the gospel to the poor, send us to administer healing to the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And I pray unto you, most Heavenly Father, that today my heart would overwhelm with a good theme, that I may recite the composition of my King, that you'd make my tongue as the pen of the ready writer. And I pray that we would love righteousness and hate iniquity, that God, even our God, you'd anoint us with the oil of gladness above our fellows. And we ask you all these things in the mighty, precious, majestic, miraculous, marvelous name of Jesus Christ. And if you agree with that, say amen. Amen. You may be seated today. So today I want to talk to you about your family legacy. From this passage of scripture, we see that Terah was Abraham's father. In fact, in verse 27, it says very clearly that Terah begot Abraham. And in this passage we just read, it says very clearly that he took them and he started to go to the land of Canaan. So evidently he communicated the plan. He communicated that there's something in my heart that is causing me to have desire to go to a different land. So he gathers up his family and he took them and then he started to go to the land of Canaan. In verse 31, the Bible says, Terah took his son Abram and his grandson Lot, the son of Haran, and the daughter-in-law Sarah, his son Abram's wife, and they went out with them from Ur of the Chaldeans to go. So he took them and he gathered them, and they started to go. So I want you to know this. Anyone can start a race. Anyone can start a race. And I'll never forget, my friends and I, we were joking around. It was when I was going to Oral Roberts University, and they were doing this run. It was called the Tulsa Run. And at the Tulsa Run, there was all kinds of people out there. And there was this long, I'm not sure exactly how many kilometers it was, but I think it was around 9-point-something miles. And so I thought it would be really funny. We were just joking around. And so I got right up there at the beginning, at the starting line with all of the champions. And I was acting like I was a champion. And so when they shot off the gun, and I sprinted in front of the entire pack for about 200 yards, and you'll have to pardon me for being so sarcastic. And then I ran off into the grass, and I fell down, and I lifted up my legs, and I was kicking them as if I was a bug or a cockroach. And so the friends of mine that were with me, I wasn't even enrolled in the race, but I got there right with all the champions, and I was stretching out like I was one of them, and I darted in front of everybody. But then I just passed away into the grass and was being a bit sarcastic. You might not find that to be humorous, but the friends that I was with at that time, they thought it was pretty funny. And so, but I want you to know, anybody can start a race, but can you finish the race? So Terah, he starts the race. God has called you to a place. He's called you to be a leader. He's called you to finish the race with joy. He's called you and your family as part of his legacy, as part of his story, and it is the destiny of God for you to pursue the things of God and for things to begin with you. But Terah, he basically started to go and then he quit. And he ended up dwelling in the land of Haran. He ended up dying in the land of Haran. I want you to see how significant this is. The word Haran literally means a place of compromise, complacency, and bitter regret. A place of compromise, complacency, and bitter regret. So here's the thing. Abraham's father, he started to go to the land of Canaan, but he ended up camping, living, and dying in the place of Haran. He started for the promised land, but he died in compromise, complacency, and he died in bitter regret. In verse 31, it says, he came to Haran and he dwelt there. He dwelt there, he camped there, he lived there, he died there. Instead of moving to the land of Canaan, instead of moving to the land of promise, he ended up dying there. Verse 32 says this, so the days of Terah were 205 years. And Terah died in Haran. He died in the place of compromise, complacency, and bitter regret. I want you to think about this. Here's a man by the name of Terah. He has three sons, Abram, Nahor, and Haran. This guy by the name of Terah, out of his heart comes a son by the name of compromise, complacency, and bitter regret. He gave birth to, he nurtured and fed, he trained up a son by the name of bitter regret, complacency, and compromise. But then he had another son by the name of Abraham. Abraham decided that he was going to follow the things of God. The legacy of your family, the legacy of your history begins with you. It begins with the decision that you will make. And I don't think that it's a coincidence that we had baby dedication here today. I think the Lord knew from years ago that there'd be a baby dedication here today. Because it's really important that you understand that your decisions really do matter. When you choose to live for the living God, for your family, to be an example, to love them, to pray for them, and let the word of God be the foundation of your home, it really, really matters for your eternity, for your family legacy, and your family history. So Terah has a son, and he's named Compromise, Complacency, and Bitter Regret. And that son by the name of Haran gives birth to a son by the name of Lot. Now, I want you to think of this. Lot was raised by compromise. Lot was raised by complacency. Lot was raised by bitter regret. That's who raised him. Later on, you see in Genesis chapter 18 that Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom and Gomorrah. Since the face of his tent, the door of his tent is facing Sodom and Gomorrah. The Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Jesus put it best when he said, and if a man's eye is evil, his whole body, his whole being, essence is going to be full of darkness. And if it's dark, how great is that darkness? So Lot sets his tent towards Sodom and Gomorrah. And then the next thing you know, he's living in Sodom and Gomorrah. He trains up his children in the ways of Sodom and Gomorrah. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, Peter said that, consider Lot, he vexed his soul with the lifestyle of Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot was raised by bitter regret. Lot was raised by a father. He was birthed out of the loins of compromise. He was coddled and nurtured in the admonition of complacency and bitter regret. So he marries a wife. They're living in Sodom and Gomorrah. And then you understand that as the angel of the Lord comes and tells him to get out of Sodom and Gomorrah and don't look back or you'll turn into a pillar of salt. His wife was so devoted and committed, she just couldn't give up the lifestyle of compromise and complacency. And she just couldn't give up. She just longed for, she hungered and she thirsted for the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye. And she's thirsting for the pride of life. Possibly the things that the Lord hates. The Bible says these six things the Lord hates. Proud look, lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, feet that are swift and running to mischief, false witness speaks lies, and he that sows discord among the brethren. So she's longing for the things of this world. The things of this world are the enmity of God. So she's longing for those things. She turns back, but then think about this. Lot, his grandpa gave birth to compromise. His grandpa gave birth to bitter regret and complacency. And his father is complacency, bitter regret, and compromise, gives birth to him. He's trained in this. After he leaves Sodom and Gomorrah, his daughters were compromising. Jewish historians tell us that Lot died an angry, lonely man in bitter regret in a cave. But then there's another guy by the name of Abraham, by the name of Abram. Even though his father was giving birth to compromise, even though his father was raising up bitter regret, even though his blood father was nurturing complacency, God came to him and spoke to him and he said, I want you to leave the people and the places and the things of compromise and complacency. I want you to leave bitter regret and I want you to go to the place that I'll show you. And in Genesis chapter 12, the Bible says that God spoke to Abraham and he said, I want you to get away from your family. I want you to go to the place that I'll take you. He called him to be different. He called him to raise his children counterculture, the opposite of compromise, the opposite of complacency and bitter regret. And so Abraham begins a brand new legacy. He begins a brand new history. Abraham actually is the father of us if we have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. As it began with Abraham, the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 12 that he would make nations out of Abraham. And I do not believe that it'll be like the nation of the USA or the nation of the UK or nations like Germany, but that it would be people, that it would be tribes. The way I see it, I don't know if you've ever seen a large army all gathered together on one field. But I found myself in my journey standing in front of 60,000 soldiers at one time and praying prayers on numerous occasions for masses of soldiers. And there are colonels and lieutenant colonels and captains that are in charge of sections. And so the general would call and I would stand up to the podium and I would pray. And before I would pray, the general would ask for an account. And the colonels and the captains, they would sound off and they would say, all present and accounted for. And they would present their regiment or brigade or their command. They would present that to the general. Well, Abraham made a decision that he was going to draw a line in the sand and he was going to follow the things of God. And so he left compromise and complacency. Even though his father died in compromise, his father camped there, he lived there, he died there in the place of compromise. Abraham moved forward. And Abraham had a son by the name of Isaac. And we are all descendants of Abraham. I want you to see the next verse. Guys, go ahead and throw up that next verse there. Can you throw it up? Isaiah. Well, let's go back to Genesis chapter 12, verse 4. Go back to Genesis 12, verse 4. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old, and he departed from Haran. When he's 75 years old, he departs from compromise. He departs from complacency. He departs from the places of bitter regret. And he says, I'm done with this living. I'm moving on with the things of God. And so I want you to see the next verse in Isaiah. The Bible tells us, look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah who bore you. For I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. We're supposed to look to our father Abraham. We should not look to Lot. We should not look to Terah. We should not look to compromise and complacency. Even if you were born out of a place of compromise and complacency and bitter regret, you shall not die in a place of compromise, complacency, and bitter regret. Because your family, your children, your spouse, you are supposed to present to the Lord your tribe, your disciples, your natural sons and daughters, and your spiritual sons and daughters. Here's the way I see it. That in one day there's going to be a great massive crowd with different tribes, and there's going to be the tribe of Abraham, and it's going to be masses of nations. And I believe right there there's going to be warriors with staffs and warriors with flags and warriors in their uniforms and warriors in their colors. And I'm going to look over one day and I'm going to see a mass of people behind me, and I'm going to look beside me, and there's going to be lined up in their ranks over there is going to be Pastor Walker and Pastor Haley, and they're going to have their flag and they're going to have their staff. And they're going to have their colors, and they're going to be there. Perhaps maybe some of the colors of green and red and black and yellow. And they're going to be there with their masses and their tribe. And behind me, I'm going to be looking at my spiritual sons and daughters as well as my natural sons and daughters. And I'm going to turn around and I'm going to present to the Lord God Almighty the darling of heaven that is crucified. And I'll take off my crown and I'll bow before the King and say, I present to you all present and accounted for. I give to you my tongue. I give to you my tribe. I give to you my nation. God has called us to make disciples of people groups, ethnic backgrounds, and he's called us to go to the place that he has predestined for us. But I want you to see in Galatians chapter 3, verse 6 through 9. Galatians chapter 3, verse 6 through 9. Notice in verse 6, it says, just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Verse 7, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. Verse 8, And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, he preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. You are one of those nations. I am one of those nations. Pastor Walker and Pastor Haley, they are one of those nations. And our nation shall be blessed in Abraham. And Abraham will be presenting the nations. And we will be one of those nations. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. Could I have an amen? So now, in the modern day tribe of our camp, a man by the name of Brother Hagin in Texas, he made a decision that he was going to live for God, that he wasn't going to live like his family, wasn't going to live like his, from my memory, his father left him when they were very young, and he had several siblings, but his mother had gone mad at one point. But he continued on in the things of God. And it's fair to say that that Brother Hagin was like Abraham in that he was a modern-day father of nations. And from Brother Hagin came nations around the world. I think there's 191 or 192 Ramas around the world at this time. In fact, maybe some of you ought to go get an application so that you could get in the family and be a part of and be belonging and be engrafted into the end time harvest of what is happening around the world today. And so Brother Hagin pursued the things of God, and he thought, if I could just train up 50 leaders, missionaries, pastors, and teachers, then I would do a great work. But I don't know how many thousands upon tens of thousands of people have come from their life and ministry. And so now here's the thing. Brother Hagin died in 2003, and he continues to have sons and daughters being born year after year after year because of his spiritual sons and daughters. And it really is a marvelous thing. But God's plan for your family, for your history, for your legacy is for you to be a nation. It starts with you and the Word of God and a decision to pray and a decision to love your children, a decision to make disciples, a decision that you're going to draw a line in the sand and you're going to cross over the line. You're going to go ahead and dye the cloth, and you're not going to turn back, and you're going to live for him fierce and full throttle and full on, and you're not going to look back. You're going to put your hands to the plow and believe God for a nation that one day you could present to the Lord. A nation. I want to share with you a little bit about my testimony. My father had four kids from three women. You want to talk about compromise? You want to talk about bitter regret? That's the description of my family. My mother had six kids from five different men. You want to talk about bitter regret and compromise? That's the definition of my family. My family, I'll tell you how immorality works. I have a sister named Gloria. She's my sister by mother, but we are cousins by blood because of immorality, because our fathers are related and lived in the same few blocks. I have a brother, and we're half, but we're also cousins and uncles because of blood, because of perversion. We're no different than Lot. You know, Lot, his grandfather gave birth to bitterness, compromise, complacency. Then Lot was raised up and nurtured by not the admonition of the Lord, not the ways of God. Lot was raised by a father, compromise, complacency, and bitter regret. So in my family, my mother at one point was a prostitute just for a small season, but she was a heroin addict. And as a child, I do not have one memory of my mother being really truly sober, except for when I would visit her when she would get locked up in the LA County prison. And so my family was complacency and bitter regret. My family was completely compromised. But the good news is, through the cross, through the blood, The Lord had a plan that I would be engrafted into the kingdom of God as one of the sons of Abraham and one of the spiritual sons of Brother Hagin, and I found a place to belong. I found a place to believe. I found that I could do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I found that I can be a new creature in Christ Jesus, and I don't have to live like my dad lived. Just because my parents lived that way doesn't mean I have to live that way. Just because my siblings lived that way doesn't mean I have to live that way. So it starts with you, and it starts with me, and we can draw a line in the sand and say, I'm not going to live there. I'm not looking back. I'm leaving her. I'm leaving bitter regret. I'm leaving compromise. I'm leaving complacency. And I'm going to go to the place that God has called me to be. And I shall raise up a nation in Jesus' name. Spiritual sons and daughters, as well as my natural genealogy. Could I have an amen? And this is your legacy. And this is your history. And this is your destiny. And this is who you are. And this is what we do. Could I have an amen? So now, Brother Hagin, he referred back to Abraham many, many times. Because our family tree starts from Abraham, from a man who left compromise, and Brother Hagin left compromise. But then in the New Testament, the one that Brother Hagin referred to that I can remember, maybe I'm wrong, but he referred to the writings of the Apostle Paul. And so we also learn from the life of the Apostle Paul. But I want you to know that God cares about you, and he has a plan for you. It's not a plan that you should die in a cave drunk, that you should die in a place where you're angry and you're disgusted because of the way that you live, and you look back at your life and you don't have to be lying in a bed somewhere lonely and you're on your you've lost all your strength and you're weak and you only have a few more breaths to live and you're angry and you're filled with compromise and regret and how you lived your life. I want you to know that God has a plan for you that you can pass over in a great celebration. You can pass over in a great integration into the kingdom of God, into the family of God. And you can pass from here to there with great joy and great excitement that you're presenting the things that you've done for the glory of God. This is God's plan for your life. Why don't you stand to your feet? I want you to make a decision today that you're not going to follow the plans of compromise, the fathers of compromise. You're not going to follow the fathers of complacency. I want you to make a real determined decision that you're not going to follow the fathers of bitter regret. That you're not going to die in a cave somewhere drunk, angry, mad at the world and mad at yourself. But I want you to make a decision today that you're going to draw a line in the sand, that you're going to go ahead and cast the die, that you're going to go all in, that you will live for God and leave a legacy, and that you will be one of those nations from the children of Abraham. But today, I believe that there are some people here, and maybe you've lived a form of godliness. Maybe you've lived with a symbol. Maybe you've lived with a form of godliness, but there's really no true power in your life. You're not really seeking first the kingdom of God. Sometimes we have this idea, my cousins love the Lord, so I get to go to heaven. Can I tell you that that's not true? Or maybe sometimes we think that I'm a pretty good person. And because I'm a pretty good person, then of course I'll get to go to heaven because I'm better than some people. Can I just tell you? Can I just submit to you that that is not true? Sometimes we have this idea that I'm a part of a certain club or I'm a part of a certain group. And so because I'm committed to this group, then I get to go to heaven. That's not true. Sometimes we think, well, I do good charitable deeds. And so if you do all kinds of good deeds, but you haven't surrendered everything to the Lord Jesus Christ, where you've asked him into your life and you've made him number one in your life, then it's really not true, is it? But there is a way, and it begins with Jesus Christ through the cross, through the blood of the Lamb. We ask him to come into our life and we make him number one, where we leave the place of being lukewarm, where we leave the place. I believe with all of my heart, there are people in here and you've loved the Lord, but you're living in compromise. I believe there's some people in here, you love the Lord, but you're really complacent in some things. You're kind of sitting down when other people are in the game, but you're sitting down. It doesn't matter your social background. It doesn't matter your gender background. There's some people here, you're supposed to be raising up sons and daughters. You're supposed to be gathering people. You're supposed to be gathering a tribe behind you that you can present them to the Lord. And you might think because of your gender or because of your race or because of your finance, because maybe you have more than somebody, that you don't have to participate in that. But you might be missing an opportunity to present a nation to the Lord one day. I'm going to ask you to leave the place of compromise. I'm calling for you to leave the place of complacency and compromise and bitter regret, and to go full throttle for the Lord today. I'm going to ask you today if you'll leave the place of being lukewarm and living completely on fire for the Lord. If that's you, I'm going to ask you that you'll just go ahead and slip out of your seat and begin to come down in the aisles and go ahead and come down to the front, and I want to pray for you. You know, my life is to be an encouragement. If you're here today, can I get where, there he is, okay, awesome. If you're here today and you say, you know what, this is speaking to me, I'm going to ask you to make the Lord God Almighty number one in your life, where he's more important to you than your social media, where he's more important to you than your job, where he's more important to you than what your friends think, than what your parents think, than what your family thinks. I'm going to ask you to come from the place of complacency, come from the place of being lukewarm. I'm going to ask you to come into the aisles and come. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. This is your day to draw the line in the sand. This is your day to cast the die. This is your day to not look back. This is your day to make Jesus Christ number one. And I want you to know, if you make this decision, it's not a decision that you're going to regret. To live for the Lord God Almighty full on is an awesome thing. It's a powerful thing. Get off the bench. Do you have the heart of Isaiah where you would say, here I am, Lord, send me? Do you have the heart that would say, wherever you go, I'll go. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do. Is he more important to you than your memberships, than your business, than your relationships? Is he more important to you than your family? Is the Lord God Almighty more important to you than your cousins? If not, you need to make an adjustment in your heart today. You need to make a switch in your heart today to where you're not going to live in compromise. You're not going to live in a place of bitter regret. It matters for your children. It matters for your future. It matters for the kingdom of God. There are lives at stake. There are dead men in the valleys of decision, and it's important that you will answer the call, that you will hear the cry of heaven, that you will hear the sound of the trumpet, because I believe in my heart that this morning the Lord is uttering his voice before his great army, and he wants to muster the troops, and he wants to gather us for the cause of Christ. Blow the trumpet in Zion and sound the alarm in your holy mountain. Let them come. Come on, let's everybody lift our hands to the Lord. I want you to imagine yourself in a stadium. Imagine yourself on a stage in a stadium. And I want you to imagine yourself in a stadium. And you look at the stadium, and the stadium is completely filled with people. And they're filled with joy. And they're filled with excitement. And they're filled with God. And they're filled with enthusiasm. And they're filled with inspiration and motivation to reach the nations. Imagine a stadium, and you're standing on the stage, and the entire stadium is filled. And that's your tribe. And that's your nation. And I want you to imagine yourself right there where you are. You turn around and you present to the Lord, this is my legacy. This is my family. I give it to you, God. I give it to you, Lord. You picked me from the pit. You picked me from the clay. You picked me from the dunghill. But you set me with your people. You set me with the princes of your people. And I present to you my nation, my sons and daughters. I present them to you, Almighty God. This is an awesome thing. And this is your legacy. And this is what he's calling you to. He's called you to belong and to believe. Come on, let's lift our hands one more time. Father, we thank you. I pray that you'll seal and confirm an amazing work in our hearts. I pray that in our heart of hearts, there will be a mark. We belong to Christ. I pray that even demons will know and tremble. Angels will know these belong to the Lord. Just like the seven sons of Sceva that said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, and I know these here from Miracle Life. Let's have the marks of Christ. I pray that we be committed to you to pray for our families, to let the word of God be the foundation in our homes, to love and nurture our children and spiritual children, and to be completely devoted to you as examples for Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now, if you came forward, I want you to just repeat this simple prayer after me. Say, Lord of all creation, I choose Jesus as the Lord of my life. I do not want to be like Lot. I do not want to be like Terah. I look to Abraham. I consider my mother Sarah, that I will present to you my family, my nation, my tongue and tribe. I will live for you as if you are number one. I will seek first the kingdom of God and your righteousness. I honor you with everything I am. I love you with everything I am. Help me, God. Heal me, God. Make me whole. Let me live for you. Fierce, full throttle, full on, wide open for the glory of God. In the name of Jesus Christ.